Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. Joe, I'm going to let you do the honors. I know how excited you are about our next guest.
I thought you were.
I'm letting you do it.
All right, yeah. I am so excited about this. Look, I grew up watching this gentleman on TV. I still say he saved Saturday Night Live, him and Eddie Murphy. He's coming to town this weekend for a big event. Welcome to the Chase and Big Joe Show, the legend himself, Mr. Joe Piscopo. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Joe, how you doing, man? Hey, we just had an earthquake in New Jersey, and you're getting it live. I swear to goodness gracious.
I don't know
if you saw this. Yes. I'm getting ready to talk to you guys. And Joe and Chase, all the best to you guys. We got a lot to talk about. Have a great weekend. But then I'm sitting around waiting for you guys to call, and I got an earthquake in New Jersey. I don't go to L.A., so I don't have the earthquakes. I come home. We got tolls, taxes, what exit, and now I'm in an earthquake in New Jersey.
Are you okay? That's the big question.
Grace of God, you know what? I swear to goodness, where I'm talking to you from now is Hunterdon County, New Jersey. And the epicenter was right here, down there, literally down the road, a couple miles. And it was, you know, and I was in the 6.7 earthquake, the Northridge quake in L.A.
Oh.
That was bad, but this was stronger and intense. You know, everything with an attitude in New Jersey, including the earthquake. You know?
Exactly right. Well, we're glad you're okay, and we hope everybody up there in Jersey and New York is okay. All right, so, Joe, you're coming to town this weekend. Before we get into your great career, tell us why you're coming to town this weekend.
Oh, we're so excited, Joe. Thank you for taking the time and allowing us to chat about it. You know, there's a great club in town in Nashville, the Sinatra Bar and Lounge, legendary. And we're celebrating the one-year anniversary of the lounge with Mr. Bill Miller. Tina Sinatra is going to be there. A lot of the folks from the Sinatra organization are going to be there. And it is going to be a great bash. I don't know if you've been down there, but it's going to be Saturday night around 7 o'clock. We're going to kick it off. And we're going to do performances. I'm going to do a little bit of New York, right in the middle of Nashville, Tennessee, baby. Come on now.
I love it. I go back to watch your great, great clips in the 80s doing Frank Sinatra. Did you ever hear from Mr. Sinatra about your impressions?
Yeah, I did, man. It was great because before I did him on Saturday Night Live, and I wrote a letter to him first before I did it, because I did the impression at the Improvisation Comedy Club, Joe, right? And then I took it to SNL, and then they kept telling me at Saturday Night Live, they said, Joe, we need you to do that Sinatra impression that you do. And I kept saying, I ain't going to do it, because, you know, I was all about my dad. Look, I'm Italian, man. And, you know, it's all about respect, you know? And I didn't want to, and it was about respect to my dad, respect to Mr. Sinatra. But, you know, we kind of needed to get on our feet at the time because we replaced the original cast, which is not easy. It wasn't easy, man. People forget about how tough it was to replace Gilda Radner and Belushi and Aykroyd and Chevy Chase. That was our cast. You guys were babies, man. But we went in and we had to come up with stuff. So they said, Joe, do that Frank Sinatra thing you do. And I went, oh, all right, hang on a second. I wrote a letter and I sent it to Mr. Sinatra's attorney, saying, done with respect. We're just doing a satire show. If it offends you in any way, sir, I'll cease and desist immediately, you know? you know what I mean? And wasn't that a fear? It was just all about an Italian-American North Jersey respect, you know? So I never heard from him. And then we did one thing. And I had fun with the character. I mean, we had a lot of fun with the character, and I never heard. Then I got invited to the Friars Club, a roast of Dean Martin, and Frank Sinatra was the master of ceremonies.
Ugh.
And then I knew it was okay because I got invited, and I did Frank Sinatra to Frank Sinatra. I did an impression of it. I know, man, and I'm still standing, brother. I'm still standing. He loved it. Thank God. Thank God. You know, crazy, man. Crazy.
Joe Piscopo is with us. So when you were talking about the everything with Saturday Night Live and the cast, you know, changing, and you and Eddie are the only ones that are kept when Dick Ebersol takes over. What was kind of going through your mind of not only like, okay, hey, cool, I'm still here, still have a job, but also the responsibility of you and Eddie Murphy basically carrying this thing to build it back into, you know, what it became?
Yeah, with great respect to Lorne Michaels and the original cast, you know. So it's a good question because Eddie and I think the reason for the success, by the grace of God, was we were very cocky, young, and flippant. And Eddie, I was about almost 9 years older than Eddie. And when I met Eddie, we just hit. And he's just a grounded individual. Eddie is, and he's a lot of fun. And aside the fact that he's a comic genius, a true comic genius, Eddie Murphy is. So now, but when we got together, it was like so weird. We were like brothers. We didn't care about anything. Chase, we didn't care about nothing. Joe, I'm telling you, when I tell you flippant, cocky, could care less. So listen, this was the scene. So we do the first 10 shows. We replace the original Saturday Night Live. Epic. People don't understand. Younger folks listening to you now on the game, they're not going to understand. This was the television show in the 1970s, rolling into 1980. We replaced it and we glitched. We just weren't doing great. So now they're going to reboot the whole show. They bring in Dick Ebersol, famous sports producer, you know, great producer. We go in this room and one by one, and they had some great time. Gilbert Gottfried was in that original cast, you know. And I know, and I came up with Gilly through the clubs in New York. And Gilly goes in, he walks out. I go, what's up? He goes, I got fired. Next got fired. They were whacking everybody, man. Whacking, boom, fire, boom, fire, boom. And we're going, and me and Eddie are there going, what is going on? Me and Eddie, we had comedy slots at the comedy clubs, you know, like in about an hour from where we were. And I'm going like, you know, I said, what's going on? So they go, Murphy, Piscopo, come into my office. Like that. It was like that, like the military. So Eddie and I go into Dick Ebersol's office. Yeah. And then, not that you wouldn't know that with your general managers there at the station. Not that you would understand it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you know, they call you in. It's me and Eddie behind the desk there in Lorne Michaels' office. But it was Dick Ebersol. And he goes like this. He goes, well, we've decided to keep you two on in the show. And me and Eddie looked at each other and we went, hey, great, Dick, look, we got a comedy shot about an hour. Can we leave now? But thank you very much. when I think about it, and Ebersol must have thought, like, what were these little brats? But they, you know what? That cockiness, by the grace of God, I'm telling you, really, it translated to TV, I guess, because we just plain didn't care. You know, it was like that, and I fed off of Eddie. I got to give Eddie all the credit because the most exciting things for me is when we would be live because we had no delay. I know you guys may be on a delay. We're on a 9-second delay in our radio show in the morning, and then because of Richard Pryor and George Carlin, all the guys that were on SNL, and Belushi himself, the great Belushi, they had a delay on the original. I don't believe we had a delay. So when I was live with Eddie. And what you saw as kids, I just fed off of his flippant, careless, kind of fun, reckless abandon. And it just added to the show. Some of the fondest things and the immense respect I have for my young friend, Eddie Murphy, man, at the time. It was great. And we did what we wanted to do. And you know what? Hey, you are black and I am white. You are blind as a bat, and I have sight. You can't do that stuff today. You just can't do it. I mean, really. It was fun. It was fun, and we did what we want, and it was great. And you guys were like 2 years old when you were watching.
No. I vividly remember every second of that, Joe.
So what was it like watching when Eddie made his return to SNL a few years ago?
You know, it was great. It was great to watch, you know, but it's different. I was just there. I'm sworn to secrecy because they have some things coming up. But I was just there and going back into the studio. And then I always, honestly and frankly, on the radio, I'm always organically honest on the radio. I knew I wouldn't get invited back to that show because of my politics, you know, I mean, you know, it's sad that we're there where we are. And I never asked, you know, I was surprised I went to the reunion like 10 years ago. I'd be surprised if I'm asked to go to the 50th reunion because the politics get in the way.
Right.
But I got to tell you this, that aside, watching Eddie in the middle, and it was worse a couple years ago. It's getting better now. Watching Eddie go up there and do Velvet Jones. I mean, it's like a pimp. Yeah, and he's doing it on Saturday Night Live in like 2023, whatever it was. And he goes, they go, hey, Velvet, wasn't that the sketch where they go, aren't you afraid of the Me Too movement? And he goes, hey, you like women? And they go, well, yes, we do. And he goes, me too.
Oh,
I went, man, Are you kidding me? And I just had a lip. I have such pride and respect for Eddie and such great memories. I thought he was great. And you need more Chappelle. I got to tell you guys too. When Eddie got the Kennedy, he got the Kennedy Prize. It was like the Mark Twain Prize. That's what it was.
Yeah.
At the Kennedy Center. What? Yeah, yeah. So we went down, and this had to be 6-7 years ago, whatever it was. And I go down there, and it was me. It was Georgie Lopez. It was Dave Chappelle. It was Arsenio Hall, Dick Gregory. You guys are young, but Dick Gregory was like a monumental, a black comic that really, really was a true social justice warrior, you know, brilliant. And all these guys were down there, and it was like the Mount Rushmore of ethnic comedy. And then me, you know what I mean? I was like the white guy. I was like the token white guy down there, you know? And Tracy Morgan was there, and was right after the accident, you know? They were brutal, off mic, off camera. We went out to dinner down there in Washington. We all went out together. And I want to tell you, brutal. Comedy has got to stay that way, man. I mean, you got to be harsh. That's why Eddie is important. That's why Chappelle is so important, you know? It's like, you know, I always look to how Pryor broke ground. I'm real clean on stage, you know? I'm real, real straight. But you need those guys. They're like pioneers, really. So it's great to hang with those guys. And again, when I think back at those days, fellas, I don't think you could do half the stuff we did on the show. No. You couldn't do it today.
You
am
are
right.
Correct. We're talking to the great Joe Piscopo coming to town this weekend at Sinatra's Barn Lounge. Joe Piscopo, Lori Morgan, T. Graham Brown, big event Saturday night at Sinatra Barn Lounge. Joe, the event sold out. So there you go. You did your job.
You know what? I got to tell you, the respect I have for the Sinatra family, Mr. Sinatra himself. So we do a show I do a show at WABC in New York called Sundays with Sinatra, and it's all about paying tribute to Francis Albert Sinatra. It is more popular. It's more popular than ever before because people get we call him the old man out of respect, like he's the admiral, the captain, Frank Sinatra, like he's the boss, you know. And when we pay tribute to Mr. Sinatra, you should see all the young people listening. The numbers are through the roof on the show. So we're going down to Nashville. The club is doing great because the legacy. And then this, guys, Frank Sinatra just this week, just broke yesterday. He's number one and number two on the jazz charts on Billboard.
Wow.
He's been gone for 25 years. He hit number one with the albums, The Ultimate Sinatra and Nothing But the Best. Is that wild, though? How wild is that?
I mean, only the chairman of the board could do that.
It's cuckoo, baby. It's swinging, baby. It's cuckoo. Come on. You know what? You could say, you know, and you can't even, remember the old man, he would go, hey, let's get some broads.
Yeah.
You can't even say that now, you know? You're not allowed to say, you got to be careful.
That's
on the
right.
Radio, you got to be careful. But you know what? He could do it, and that tenor and that tone and that class and that distinction of Frank Sinatra, the always dressed up, always impeccable. And by the way, treating women, he always did with such immense respect. And that's what it's all about. And that's what the Sinatra Club and that bar and lounge down there in Nashville is. It epitomizes it. If you guys want to get in, look, I know a guy. I know a guy. What am I going to tell you? You know what I mean?
Oh, we're there. All right. So, Joe, my phone is blowing up because one of my all-time favorite movies, and you know where I'm going with this, is Johnny Dangerously, and people are asking, did you have any idea, because that's become like a cultural hit, did you have any idea at the time how just great this movie would, and it's long-lasting how this movie, how Johnny Dangerously is? Any idea?
No, that's a great question, because when you do it, it was my first really film, and we had such fun doing it. And you never know if it's going to translate to the airways. And Michael Keaton is the best. He is funny. I'm telling you what, he is a funny cat. I got to tell you, Michael Keaton is. And don't forget Danny DeVito in the film and Richard Dimitri, who did, he did the Maroni. He did,
yes.
Can I say Fargan?
You can say Fargan, yes.
He goes too far. Fargan Bastages. It was so much. And with a shout out to Amy Heckerling, was the director. And Norman Steinberg wrote most of that. And I got to tell you, we just had such fun. We laughed our way through the whole film. Then it opened, and I remember, guys, they had a big billboard on Hollywood Boulevard with me and Michael Keaton and Mary Lou Henner, who was spectacular. And I said, wow, this is cool. And it opened marginally. And it was okay, but open marginally. But the legs afterwards, what they call the legs of it afterwards, no, I had no idea. I had no idea. People, it's like all over the world. It's so weird. You know, my mother hung me on a hook once. Can I tell you a story? You got time? Can I tell you?
Heck yeah, go.
Story? No, so I'm with Keaton, who, again, a great actor, and I knew him from the clubs, and it's just a great guy. And so I was the bad guy, Danny Vermin. And then the action was I told him off, and then he was going to grab me and hang me on that hook. So I had a harness on. I had a harness on around my chest with a cut in the back of my suit with a hook. So Michael had a little – and then an apple box right behind me. And I'm facing Michael. Michael's facing the door. I had to back up. So all you saw was – so when Michael grabbed my chest, he had to lift me up. Now, I helped him because I stepped onto that apple box. And then Michael had to hit the hook perfectly with the little latch that I had behind. And so how we did it, I have no idea. I'm talking to – I said, you know, something about what I was saying, you know, Johnny, this, that, the other thing. And he grabs me and he tries it. We miss. He tries it again. We're missing. I'm getting smacked on the door. And then Amy Heckley came over and said, it's not reading on camera. You know, 35 milli reading back then, guys. So it was like, it's not reading. You got to really go for this one. Michael goes like this. He goes, after I told him off, Johnny, this, that, the other thing. Keaton hits me on the chest. Blew the air out of me. He went shoo, like that. Grabbed me. I step up. He jams me on that hook, man. What you saw was real. And then I had to stay straight and take a beat and go, you shouldn't hang me on a hook, Johnny. My mother hung me on a hook once. And I had my finger up, and then Keaton opens the door, and I kept my face, like, with the finger up. And then we just kind of ad-libbed that, you know, and then we saw it. He said, you know, we should do it in threes because comedy is always in threes. So that's why you hear it later on, the once, you know, you shouldn't
see, yes,
you know, ba ba bang and that sort of thing, you know. Oh man.
That's great.
It's nice to see you. I thank you for bringing that up because great, you know, great memories. And the film, it's crazy, but it really holds up to this day in many ways.
Oh, my goodness. Joe Piscopo. Joe, thank you. I know you're a busy man. Safe travels. Yeah, man. When you get tomorrow night, when you're Sinatra's and somebody comes up and whispers in your ear that Chase and Big Joe are there, just let us in. That's all we ask.
You know what? I listen, we'll take care of you. I swear, I promise, guys. Chase and Big Joe, I'll talk to Mr. Miller. We'll get you in there. Tina Sinatra, it's the Sinatra family. I'm broadcasting live there on Sunday night. Come on by as well. It'll be 5 o'clock Nashville time, broadcasting all around the country, Sundays with Sinatra. And guys, with great respect, we appreciate you allowing us to get the word out. We're very excited about the Nashville Bar and Lounge and our celebration with the one-year anniversary. In the name of Francis Albert Sinatra, baby.
There you go. Joe, thank you, man.
Thank you, God bless you.
Love you, man.
God bless you, too. Love you back, fellas. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Joe Piscopo joining us here on the program.
Woo.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah. That was great stuff for sure. We'll put a bow on things. I'll give you quick WrestleMania predictions and maybe birthdays. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.